guys in all of the world. I like him because he's chubby like me, and we have the same heart, and we're both trying to lose weight, and we're just right on the beam with each other, and I know he's going to inspire your heart today. So would you give Alan Brown a good BCC welcome today as he comes?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to see you guys again. And I hope and pray, as I said before, somebody said, well, I can't wait to hear you this morning. I said, I hope you feel the same way when you leave. So, and that's the truth. If you see some of our people get up and leave, it's just what they do when I preach. No, I'm kidding. They have obligations at 10 o'clock and they're going to get out here and leave. Now, if I need to stop at some point, I don't have a watch. I don't believe in those. So you just do like this, and I'll ignore you, but that's okay. So I believe with all my heart God wants His church to grow, don't you? I believe with all my heart God wants His church to be faithful, don't you? You know, the problem we have today is that we know how to do church, but we don't know Jesus. Y'all didn't hear me. We know how to do church, but we don't know how to do Jesus. Because you see, Jesus tells us that we've got to belong to Him. We've got to serve Him. He calls us to follow Him and not do what we want, when we want, how we want, where we want, and then ask Him to bless it. See, the problem is in churches, and I don't care what your label is, the problem is with churches is we want to do church the way we're most comfortable doing church, and then we want to ask God to bless it, and we wonder why He doesn't. People come to the altar and they say, oh, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. What they want is cafeteria. They want to come in and have a little bit of Savior, but they don't want to have nothing to do with Lord. And see, that's the problem. The Bible says that He is Savior and Lord. They are equal, not and or. The problem with all of the world is that we have decided to follow Jesus as Savior, but we have not decided to follow Jesus as a disciple. I'll give you a perfect example. If you take just a moment, and you know I like to kid, but God has really been on my heart. And by the way, if I burp today, I'm sorry. I ate Cheerios before I got here, and they don't like me. And they are really giving me a hard time. So I apologize. It's David's fault. I had to eat a hurry. I never eat this early. But anyway, I'm kidding. All right, Matthew 19. We're going to go to verse 16 and just... I want us to look at this. This story is so familiar, you could probably tell it in your sleep. Because if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard about the rich young ruler. And usually when we preach this sermon, we're wanting people to understand how to get saved and what they need to know to get saved. But I believe with all of my heart there's a little bit more here than we often look at. And that is the fact that Jesus was asking him to do something that was fundamentally different in his life. Jesus was asking a dead man to come alive. Do you know that when Lazarus died, he was dead. He was physically dead. He was every kind of dead that you can be to this world because he had gone from this life into that life. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus had nothing to do with it. But the Almighty One said to him, come forth, and he did. The problem is that we preachers get up here and we say to people, now you just come forth and be saved. And people flock down the aisle and they give their hearts to Jesus and they walk away lost, many of them. Because they do not understand that Jesus is not calling them to a religion. He's calling them to a relationship. He is calling them to walk the path of holiness. He is calling them to be a disciple of Jesus. He is calling them to a life that says, I will die to self and live for you. That's what it's about. The reason we have so many squabbles in the church, the reason we have so many problems in the household of faith is because we have too many people who do not know Him as Lord. And they're trying to run the church. And I'm telling you, it's very important for us to understand that this man had it all. This man, by the way, knew about it all too. As you think about the story, as you think about what he's trying to do, what he's trying to say, he knew what to do. He knew where to go. He knew what Jesus was all about. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Well, listen to the story. Look in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Look at what he says. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And in Luke's gospel, it says inherit eternal life. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good, but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which one? Jesus said, well, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have done, I have kept them from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, actually the word translates to be whole or complete, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, did you see what they're saying now? Who then can be saved? It was a sobering thought for them. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Now I want you to look at a few things here today. He was unhappy. He was rich, but he was not happy. Did you know that wealth will not make you happy if you're not happy on the inside? My wife and I have a saying, if you're not happy fat, you ain't going to learn to be happy skinny. In other words, what it is if you're not happy where you are in the state that you're... Amen, I heard that. He was the only one who knew how to say it. Amen. Now, if you're not happy inside, it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're blind or you're free. It doesn't matter, because you won't be happy where you're going if you're not happy where you are. Because you see, happiness is something that is a fleeting emotion. Joy is something that's down on the inside. Joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. You know, it's something that's from within. So you've got to have a heart change and then a head change so you can be happy wherever you are in whatever state that you are. Paul says, I've learned to be abound. Where I have plenty, I enjoy the plenty. Where I'm low, I enjoy the low. He said, wherever I am, in whatever state I am happy. Why? Because of who he knows and who knows him. Actually, it's the other way around. Who knows him and who he knows. And you know, it's amazing to me, the sons of Sceva always, they got beat up. Why? Because they went and they tried to do something of God that they were not prepared for. Have you ever done that? You've gone out and you tried to do this and you want to take authority over this and authority over that, but you haven't got any authority over your life. And you go out and do something God hasn't led you to do. And sometimes the devil turns around and says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then he proceeds to beat the life out of you. We have that happen to us so many times because we think that to be happy, we have to have more and more and more of the world's things. And that's what he had. He had great possessions. Great possessions. And he held a great position. He was a ruler, an authority there. And he was deeply religious. But he was not happy. You know, you can go to church and you can lay out on the floor. You can stand up on the pews. You can sing all the hymns you can know all the choruses. You can even teach Sunday school. You can be an elder or a deacon. You can preach. You can do all the things in the world. But if you don't know him, it won't make you happy. Amen. You know, many, many times I've told people, it's better for you to walk as a greeter at Walmart than to be a preacher if you've not been called. Because they'll tear you up. You know why? Because you try to become a man pleaser. And you can't please everybody in the church. It will send you to the loony bin just like that. Because you have to learn, in order to lead the church, you've got to be led by Jesus. You've got to be fed by Jesus. You've got to walk with Jesus. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a corner going, you know, because you just lose your mind. It'll take your spirit right from you and just throw it out in the street. His hands were clean. All these things I have kept from my youth. But his heart was empty. Do you know you can go through all the religious roles you want to? I talk to people all the time who say, well, I went through catechism, or I went through the new members class, or I've done the Roman road, and I tithe, and I... But, you know, preacher, I said, but let me ask you a question. Do you know him? Well, I walked down the aisle and shook the preacher's hand. Oh, I just want to just scream. I believe, David and I, we may or disagree, I believe in asking people to respond to what God wants them to do. But you understand the difference here. I'm not asking you to respond to what I said. I'm asking you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And there may be someone here today who will come down this aisle and say, God is dealing with me. I want to be saved, but I don't know how. And we might say to you, this is how you get saved. But I guarantee you, I'd rather you walk out this door and wrestle with that decision than to make a decision you're not ready to make. But you may be here today and you know God is doing something in your heart. Somebody you need to go to. Something you need to go do. Some decision that you need to make. And that gives you an opportunity to respond to Him. Now, not all decisions are not public. Sometimes it's just between you and God. Now, I want you to understand something here. His heart was empty. He said, what do I still lack? Has anybody ever asked you that? Well, preacher, what do I need to do? Well, you need to do this. Well, I done did that. I still don't feel no change. Well, it's because it's not what you did. It's what He did inside of you. Then you have to act upon what He has done inside of you. So many of us come in here and we think it's something like putting a quarter into a booth and sitting down and we're a Christian. You know? It's coming to that place where the Holy Spirit has dealt with your heart and you know that you're a born-again child of God because you have confessed your sins of unbelief, you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you have believed the Word of God, and you have received Christ into your heart. The Bible says that you are saved. But then let me tell you something. You must act upon that. You must get up. And you must follow Jesus. You follow Jesus by getting in His Word, staying in your prayer closet, and then serving Him. Christians who sit in a church and soak it up, and they just sit here and sit here and sit here, all they do is sour. They need to be squeezed out like a sponge and sent out into the world to serve the Lord Jesus. We sit here every Sunday and we come in here and we expect to be fed. Well, I want to tell you something. Some people don't expect to be fed. They expect to be entertained. Well, listen, you can watch whatever it is on TV you like to be entertained with. I didn't come here to entertain you. I came here to share with you what God told me to tell you, and then you need to go and do something with it, okay? Now, I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but the problem is the church sits in a time when we want to be like the world. Instead of being like the world, we ought to try being like Jesus. I believe with all of my heart the only way that our government, the only way that our country is ever going to change is when the church stands up and says, thus saith the Lord. And the reason so many of them aren't scared of the church is because the church is ready to sit down on its precious promises rather than stand up and be called the army of God. And I'm telling you, the reason that is because there's a lot of people who are doing lip service to the Lord instead of allowing Him to be the King and King and the Lord of Lords in their lives. This man followed Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. You notice what Jesus said to him? He says, why do you call me good? There is only one. He uses a capital O. There's only one good. Jesus was basically saying to him, unless you recognize that I am God, I can't be good. And if you think I'm good, then you must understand, believe, and receive and follow me as God. You must understand that I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You must follow me as my child. You must give it up. and serve me. See, he didn't know who he was talking to. Because if he had known, he could have asked for mercy and it would have been given to him. In Luke chapter 17, and we won't turn there, but in verse 12 and 13, it talks about the lepers. Do you understand the fact that what they cried out was, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know that's what we need? Without the mercy of God, you can't be saved. Without the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. The Bible says unless He draws you, you can't be saved. The Holy Spirit's the one who has to do the work in you. You're dead to God. You are spiritually dead to God until that flicker of hope from God comes inside of you. And when it does, then God expects you to do something, to accept His invitation to you to receive Him. But not just to accept an invitation to receive Him, but to live for Him. Did you know that God never resurrects anybody else to die? Hello? God didn't resurrect from the grave to just die again. Jesus will never go the route of Calvary again. Jesus will never be crucified again. Yet we try to crucify Him over and over and over again. The Bible says it is finished. Once and for all, it is finished. The Bible wants us to understand that Jesus, when He resurrects us unto life eternal. When we die to ourselves, and we are buried in that watery grave to signify symbolically what God has done into our lives, we are raised to walk in the newness of life. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but also spiritually what happens to every born-again child of God. People laugh sometimes when I talk about being born again, but you know what? I really don't care. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the Jews, He said to him, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, now, wait a minute. You're expecting me, an old man, to go back into my mother's womb? Jesus is like, come on. You see the wind blowing wherever it is. You don't know where it comes from. You don't even know where it's going. If I tell you about heavenly things or earthly things and you don't understand them, how can you understand heavenly things? He says, you've got to be born of flesh and of what? The Spirit. You have to be born from human birth. And then at some point, if you want and desire eternal life, you must be born from heavenly birth. You must have the Holy Spirit come upon you and do in you what He did in Mary, that you cannot do for yourselves, because it is not of man, it is of God. Amen. Salvation is of God. But this guy didn't know who he was talking to. He didn't understand that not only was Jesus able to help him, but He was able to set him free. Compare this young man to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, he was helpless, wouldn't you say? Nailed on a cross or roped on a cross, whatever he was by Jesus, right next to him. He was fixing to die. And he looked over at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't jump off the cross and come down to the altar and say, I am a sinner. I believe in you. He didn't have any minced words, but God knew his heart. And he said, Jesus, I believe you. When you get where you're going, take me with you. And Jesus turned and looked at him. The Bible says, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Did you know Jesus didn't say, now you got to take the Lord's Supper. You got to be baptized. You got to come down the aisle. You got to do this and do that. No, He said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And I'm telling you, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you commit your soul to Him and you obey His commandments, this day you become His. And you can walk into the heavenly peace with Him. Instead, he asked, what could he do? What could he do? Do you know that's the reason we have so many problems in our lives? Because we think we can fix it. How many guys in here think you can fix it? Whatever it is. A lot of us do. We don't read instructions. We don't, you know, we just get in there and try to fix it. And then we go, what is this thing? Where did that come from? how come this doesn't work? And you always have your lovely wife come to you and say, well, if you'd read the instructions, we don't read maps. We know where we're going. Even if we have to go around 17 times, we know where we're going. It's all right. That's the way God made us. We're okay. But we like to fix things. We like to know that we can do it. But you know what God says? You can't fix this. You can't. You're dead. You're dead to Him spiritually. And Jesus, knowing His heart, He said to Him, no man can gain heaven by this type of thing. No man can just earn their way into heaven. No man can just do all these things. But Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if you will be made whole, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, that you shall have treasure in heaven, and come. Now look what he said. Come and follow me. It was a call to sacrifice that he was not willing to make. Let me tell you something, believers. You need to understand this. God has called you to a purpose. You may have problems that need to be fixed. You may have walls that need to be climbed. You may have rivers that need to be crossed. You may have mountains that you have to go through, over, in, around, whatever. But God has called you to follow Him. And if you will follow Jesus, He will lead you where you need to be. He will help you do what you need to do. You will not be able to build a building to contain the people that God will bring to you if you will lift Jesus up. And one thing you need to understand, Brother David can't do it. Your board can't do it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, we say, well, if Jesus is going to build it, I don't have to do nothing. Wrong. What he's saying is, I have the plans and you're going to fulfill it. You need to work the plans. That's why he said the first commandment is this, to love the Lord with all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is likened unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's why he also went on and said in his great commissioning that you are to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. That is a conditional promise in his command, that if you do the first thing, then I will do the latter thing. If you go as you're going, making disciples who will turn to me, I will in turn make them followers of me, and I will be with you and I will bless you. But so many of the churches are saying, well, you know, we will build it and they will come. No, they won't. Not unless God brings them. God doesn't bring them unless you lift Him up. I don't think y'all believe me. The Bible says that He will build His church. He will build His church. That's what he was getting at. It's a call to sacrifice. It is a call to service. Come and follow me. The natural man is unable to make such sacrifices as service without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, I can come and I can say, oh, you know, brother so-and-so, I can do this and I'll do this and I'll do that. I don't know if I can do it or not. I may have the mental capabilities of doing it. I may have the physical capabilities of doing it, but I may not have the spiritual permission to walk that path. Because you see, if God calls, God also equips. And if God is sending, He's also sending you with the resources that you need to do and to be what God wants you to be. But so many of us try to do it on our own, and then we want to blame God why it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because like the rich young ruler, we think we can do something about it. All we can only do is hope in His mercy. It's a choice that was made. It's a choice to follow Jesus. You see, I believe with all of my heart. I have told this, I can give you testimonies right here. I have preached this over and over and over again at our church. It is not about what we want. It's about what God wants. We are not called to come to this place and to just be self-serving. We are called to come to the house of God and to be refreshed and renewed and to fellowship and to learn and to worship Him. Do you know that you're supposed to worship God so that the lost people come in can see how it's done? But we said all the time, we sit around here going, well, we're going to sing these songs and take this offering, you know. You know what? Every bar in every place that allows it, will welcome them in without any questions and say, "We've been waiting for you, friend." But in the church, we say, "Don't sit in my pew. You can sit anywhere you want, but don't sit in my seat." And you need to be like we are, or you ain't welcome here. Well, I want to tell you something. Now, this morning, I fully intended to wear my lime green t-shirt and my blue jeans just to show David that I could. But you know what? I got to picturing myself in the mirror, and I got more bulge. And I thought, you know, that lime green's just going to go, and I'm going to look like I'm about 9 months. I'll look like David. And I just didn't want to do that. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made that crack. But not really, but I enjoyed it. Anyway. But you know what I got to thinking? That's not who I am. I mean, I like wearing blue jeans and I like wearing t-shirts and things like that. But that's not who I am. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to preach that you need to be who you are, then I need to go who I am. That's who I am. You know, one day I hope to be less of who I am. But I'm not right now. But I'm not fooling myself either. God can use what I am. And what I need to be, He can make me what I need to be. You know why I'm not on a diet plan? No offense to any of you that are using Jenny Craig. That's okay. I'm not on that because I can't afford that. So what I am is I'm on Jesus' plan. I'm praying, God, change my attitude about my appetite. Make food to me not a source of comfort and a source of whatever I use it for, but make food for me what you intended for me to be as a source of energy and strength to my body and health to me. And help me to understand the correct portions that I need for my body. I am a type 2 diabetic and I know that I have to take care of myself and I have to do the right things. I think exercise is a sin. Paul says it profits us nothing. Yeah. That's a stretch of the scripture, I admit it. But anyway, sin is just not it. I mean, exercise is just a sin to me. But anyway, I think it's wonderful and you should do it if you can. But I can't and I won't. Anyway, I've gotten completely off the subject. But here's the bottom line. God can do for us what He wants us to do if we're willing to obey and follow Him. Believer's Outreach doesn't need to compare itself to any other church. You just need to be what God called you to be. And just like, and you know what? Sister Nancy, you're a person after my own heart. I can't make an announcement. I preach announcements. I preach, you know, invitations. It don't matter. Because I love to talk. It's a gift of God. It is, isn't it? But here's the thing. We need to understand that church is not ours. It's who we are. We are the church. We're the body of Christ. We need to be reaching people and teaching people and loving people and accepting people and telling them about the gospel and helping them as they deal with their sin and deal with who they are and deal with, you know, repenting of that sin. To repent means I change my mind. I turn around from what I was to where He wants me to be. I make a difference and I say, from this day forth, Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of my life. I repent of who I was. I ask Him to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and save me and change me and recreate me and make me into His own dear image. I can't do that. Only He can do that. He was not willing to comply with the conditions. He was not thinking as a man. He was not seeing by faith. He thought, Jesus is being too strict. I can't do that. He maybe thought He's being too senseless. I mean, it's senseless to do all these things. You see, without faith, He was unwilling to commit Himself to Christ. He was unready because of unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which is one of my favorite scriptures, and I want to read it to you. But without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that commits to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not my commandments?" That's like saying, "I am an American, but I live like a Muslim." Hello? And I'm telling you right now, anybody that comes in this country will not swear allegiance to this country and follow the Constitution ought to be put on a plane right back to where they came from. Why do we think that as an American, but it's hard for us to think that as a Christian? We'll let every Hagen in the world come into our church and tell our church what to do because it doesn't look right and somebody might sue you and blah, 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 blah. When we ought to be worried about what the Word says we ought to be doing, we ought to do what the Word says we need to do, regardless of what the world thinks.
Amen.
See, everybody wants to hear these things, but nobody wants to do these things. And that's why the church is headed where it's headed, where people don't pay it any attention anymore. He went away without Christ in his heart. Why? Because he went away condemned because he would not obey Christ. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. Now I'd like to believe that somewhere down the line he became a follower of Jesus. He did what Jesus wanted him to do. Do you realize it wasn't the money? You know God's not against money. God doesn't care whether you have billions of dollars or you have no money. He can take anybody, the ordinary man, and use him or her just like they are. And if God needs you to do something that you don't have the money for, I believe with all my heart, God will give you the money you need. Sometimes we don't have what we need because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss. You're just like a wave. You're jumping from one thing to the other. Listen, I know in my own home, we have five children and we always have more month than we have money. Always. And people look at us and say, I don't know how you do it. I said, however we did it, it's done. Ain't no worry about worrying about it. You know, well, I wouldn't have five kids. I said, bless God, we had what God told us and gave us. We wasn't expecting to have five kids either, but oh, here they are. I mentioned to my kids and my wife the other day that I thought we ought to be foster parents and they all passed out. But anyway, share the love, man, share the love. But here's the thing. It wasn't the money. I believe with all my heart. Now, this is me. This is not Bible. This is me. I believe with all my heart, if he'd have given it up and followed Jesus, he'd have had what he needed. The money wouldn't have been a big deal. But the reason some of us don't enjoy the money that we have is because it's not given and received and used for the glory of God. I know some very wealthy people that are not only wealthy financially, but they're wealthy spiritually because you know what? That money's just green stuff painted on a piece of paper. And if God told them to give it away tomorrow, it'd be gone. Because they love Jesus much more than they love their money. And I believe that's why they've got their money. You know, I'm praying to God right now for $250,000. You know, there's a lot of things that I need to do for that. And I said, God, whatever it takes, you know my needs, you know what I need it for, you know how I need it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And if not, then you're going to provide a way. I'm praying for $2.5 million for our church, you know, so that we can build the structure that God has laid on my heart that we need to build. It's not fancy, but it is a place of worship, a place of service, a place of learning, a place of fellowship, and it is a mission station to reach the world in which we live. I have told our people, and I believe it with all my heart, not only for Ruddle Hill, but also Believers Community and any other church that's committed and sold out to Jesus Christ. If you were to sell out for Jesus and serve Him with all of your heart, you can reach around the world to any spot where you are right here in Batesville, Arkansas. I believe that. We've made a difference in people's lives. I've seen our church take $10,000 and send it to a church in Montana. Now, could we have kept that money and used it for ourselves? Sure, it had been great. But the need was greater than ours. And they sent it without reservations. I've seen God build a building and no money. I've seen God raise up money just like you have to do the things that needed to be done. And people sitting there going, preacher, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. And every stinking Sunday, it comes in over and over and over again. I cannot tell you, Brother David, how many people have called me a fool. How many people said you're crazy. How many people said you don't know what you're doing. You got to consider the cost. I said, buddy, I considered the cost the day I called him Lord. Because I said, it's all yours. I told him last week. And this was me. This ain't Brother David. I said, if you got to cut my salary, please don't. But if you got to cut my salary to do what God called you to do, then cut it. I don't care. Because God's going to take care of me. God speaks to some of you today. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Does it matter whether you come to church or not? Does it matter whether you read the Word of God or not? Does it matter whether your life has any life in it or not? Is the Spirit of God moving inside of you and talking to you and dealing with you and leading you? Are you empty? Listen, if you're a child of God, He knows you and you know Him, and you're not empty, you're full. You should be overflowing. And if you're not overflowing, then either you've got your valve turned down too low, or there ain't nothing there. You know those big air tanks? You can turn the valve all you want to. If it's empty, ain't nothing coming out. But if it's full, you can just like a watermelon, bing, and you can just barely... Then you turn it. Whenever you get up in the morning, it's like the Holy Spirit ought to be going. And because I'm fat, I consider myself a big balloon. I just want God to squeeze me out till I just poot everywhere. Just everywhere. I know it's church. I shouldn't be doing it. But listen. And I got to get finished, don't I? Well, let me tell you something. There's a way out of this. When He deals with you, when He calls you, answer His call. Answer His call. Jesus said, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slander." Listen, judgmental attitudes, jealousy, selfish ambitions, pride, use of your tongue in the wrong way. We are called to be different. We're called to be servants of the King. I want to ask you today, I want to ask you to stand up. And as we close this service, if our musicians will just play something quietly. Your pastor can talk to you anytime you feel so led. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you something today that you just simply say, "Lord, I need You." If you know today that you're walking in sin and it doesn't matter, your fellowship doesn't matter, you can sin and it doesn't bother you. You can take God or leave it. It doesn't matter. Then you know something's wrong. Either you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or something is not right. If you're saved, you're saved. I can't be the judge of that. But I know this. When He called you to be the Savior of your life and the supreme sovereign Lord of your life. And you cannot have one without the other. I want to encourage you today, if you are unsure today that you're saved, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. Just slip your hand up real quick. I want to pray for you. I'll not come to you. I'll not do anything. All right? Thank you, several. I'm going to ask you to pray. God, what is it that I lack? Am I lost because I've never sold it all out to You? Am I lost because I've tried to do it on my own? I seek to be saved. Help me to come to You and know You. Talk to your pastor when you get the opportunity. If you're a Christian here today and you're not following Jesus like you ought to, and you know you shouldn't, I'm going to ask you right now to ask Him to forgive you, to fill you, and to guide you. And the next time you worship Him, you'll worship Him a little freer. It'll flow a little better because you've had an opportunity to give it all to Him. Father, You know what we need this morning. You know how we need to be. I'm asking You this morning, if there's any person in this building that feels a need to go to their pastors, that they would. But Father, deal with each and every one of us today like you want us to. Don't let us be called by man, but called by the Spirit. Some have indicated they're not sure about their salvation. And I've asked you, Lord, to help them to understand today or tomorrow or whenever you so choose that they are saved or they're not. And to go and talk with their pastor and to talk more than that, to talk with you. And to confess their unbelief, repent of their sin, and follow you. Maybe there's some that are struggling about joining this church or going into missions or doing a work of service, whatever it is. May we be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.